And we are live, baby.
We are live. We are
What's
live.
Up?
Getting ready to jive.
Just chilling. You rapping already? You remember when we used to rap together all the time?
We were really good at that. I'm actually really, I go through you phases where I suck at rapping and then I get really good. And it's because I do it a lot in the car.
You still do?
I still do. It's great.
Yeah,
I used to have.
We weren't good.
No, we were pretty bad. Like honestly, but actually, the actual act of rapping is not as difficult as you think. You know, like thinking of words that rhyme while you're under pressure, like a time constraint, is actually not that hard. You could probably get pretty good at it in like a week. What's hard is being clever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's also so many different rhymes. I was checking into it, like bending rhymes and curving rhymes and. Like
a
how
bending
Eminem
rhyme?
Rhymed, they said like orange could not be rhymed before, and then Eminem did what they call, I can think it's called a bending rhyme, and he's like, something, something, oranges, syringes. Like,
oh, yeah,
the way
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, I got a bunch of syringes in my door hinges with a bunch of oranges, right? Yeah, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's not exact, yeah. Eminem is like a god at rapping, actually.
Oh, man. No,
he's so good.
He's an example of being obsessed, and this is what I think today's podcast is going to be about.
Yeah,
is being obsessed with what you like to do, and then making that like the top.
He's a really interesting story. I mean, he was pretty much, you know, the first. Actually, no, I don't know enough about rap culture to state this, but would you say he was one of the first, like, really, really influential white rappers? Hey, there's the Beastie Boys, right?
Yeah,
but other
yeah,
than
the Beastie
them.
Boys. And Eminem also said that he was influenced by the Beastie Boys, but then once Vanilla Ice did it, he was just like, fuck it, I can do this. But no, he was definitely the one that opened the door. And like in one of his lyrics too, he was like, when he started with Dre, he's like, I think I got like three fans from him. And then
right.
Like he got fans from me. Like white people started accepting black culture because they accepted Eminem.
Yeah, he was really one of the he was kind of like the guy who brought rap to suburban America, like a suburban white America.
Well, he kind of stole rap. Like like again, Eminem's like a god. No one will doubt that now, and there's no one like him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like fucking, I don't know.
Did you ever want to be a rapper growing up?
No, you know, like when Eminem came out, he was weirdly as this sound, he was kind of pop. Everyone in my town that was preppies and shit liked him. So I, even though I had his album and I related with his stuff, which I think people just liked him because it was popular, I related with his shit, but I don't know. I got into being a big fan of him, but at first I thought it was just drugs and shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you know, definitely depending on the song, the message is completely different. But
yeah,
I think, you know, you can't say that he didn't change the game forever.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying that. No, totally.
Do you listen to? Oh, you know, he's part of like a generation, not maybe not a generation, like this long running lineage of. Like white rappers who, yeah, really changed the game. Like I can think of, for example, like Weird Al. Really,
I wouldn't call him a rapper. Like,
really,
you know, there's an interesting thing too that this other guy asked me. I used to know the definition. I keep forgetting it. But do you know what the difference between a rapper and an MC is? So Eminem's a rapper, but Beastie Boys are like MCs.
Ah.
Do you know what the difference is?
No. Well, I always thought they were kind of similar, but maybe there's a slight nuance difference, but yeah,
he explained it a lot better than me, and I can't remember like the real definition, but like basically one of them is an MC is a microphone control, so they're meant to pump up people, and they usually perform in front of crowds.
Ah, an MC. That yeah, okay,
yeah.
Okay. I just looked it up right now. So it says the difference between rapping and MC and is showmanship. MCs are people who get the crowd moving.
That's what I said. Yeah. But there's another one too. Like he was telling me, rap standard for something as well. It was really crazy the way he introduced it to me.
Well, apparently, like rappers are more interested in the poetry aspect and like the message and the lyrics. And
that's it. Yeah. So rappers rappers tell a story, kind of, and MCs kind of tell the life. Is that it? No. Well, anyways, I don't want to seem like that douchey guy trying to explain something he's fully into.
Great. So, what do you want? I mean, I love rap. I mean, we can talk about all kinds of things. What do you want to talk about today?
There was a couple things I wanted to go over with you. So one is like I was telling you before we started the podcast, and that was I was working on my YouTube today, and just complete mental blockage, but yet a little bit of dip in depression, but then really quick dip out. And that was because noticing a lot of famous or a lot of influential people also go through that. And it's important to go through that as well.
Well, why did you feel depressed? What kind of brought about that feeling? Were you thinking like, oh, I can't do this? Like, why can't I come up with good ideas?
No. And it's not that I can't do it. Like, especially with comedy, I understand it and I understand how it works. But the thing was, I was like, I couldn't get a good idea to start.
Yeah.
But what pissed me off was that I have always good ideas. So why couldn't I just get it or focus?
You know, I find for me, at least, it's really hard for me to come up with ideas when I'm sitting down in front of like the computer or like when I'm just at home. So there's a bunch of ways I come up with ideas, actually. So
that's actually what I wanted to go over with you is actually
ideation and how to get those creative juices flowing.
Ideas and when you feel down and how to get out of it.
Yep. Okay. I got like a whole bunch here, like just off the top of my head. I don't know. Should we just start listing them down?
We'll just talk.
Yeah. Okay. So here, wait, for me, right? Sometimes I'll be sitting there and I have no idea what the next video should be about. Actually, now I have the opposite problem. I have too many videos and it's a hard decision to pick which one I want to work on. But anyway, okay. So it's like sometimes I'm not inspired or I don't know how to make a particular, how to edit the footage I already have to make it interesting. So what I often do is I'll look up similar videos and watch those and see how they cut those videos to make them interesting and like what kind of transitions they use, what kind of timing, what kind like what kind of shots, what kind of story they're trying to tell. And sometimes I then realize, oh, I need to reshoot something or this is the way I should have shot it. So I'll go and like either reshoot it or keep it in mind for like the next time. A good example is when you're filming like food. And this is just a realization I came to earlier today, actually. It's like, I think one of the most interesting parts of the food, like when you're doing videos about food, it's not eating it. It's like showing the cooking part.
Do you do videos about food?
Occasionally. I mean, when I do like a lot of like lifestyle videos of, you know, this is what a car guy's life is like here in Japan. And then maybe during that video, I'll go and eat like a burger or eat like an onigiri or something.
I didn't know you're still doing that. Interesting.
Yeah, so of course in those situations it's not showing me cooking a 7-Eleven onigiri, right, or something like a rice ball. So sometimes that's a little bit harder, and it's my point is it's really hard sometimes to figure out how in the moment how to present something. So I go and watch other content of, you know, like how did people do a review of this or something, and like, oh, okay, that kind of sucked, don't do it that way. I learn a lot more what not to do than what to do. And
which is just as important.
Yeah, definitely. But then sometimes you watch a video and you're like, wow, that was really well presented. And that is how you should do it. But I think, for example, I come up with a lot of creative blocks for when I'm trying to write a book. I just don't know how to write something, like a section, or what sections to include in that book, for example. And there's a bunch of ways I've been able to get around that. I think one of the ways is by looking at other like similar books and just ingesting other content to see if I can incorporate some of those elements into my own work.
Oh, nice. So yeah, you do a lot of comparing.
Yeah, a lot of just absorbing and kind of through osmosis, figuring out like, okay, that's a good idea. Like this kind of like section in the book would be interesting, or the way this particular book is written is really compelling. Like I can see myself, if I like it, I know that I should be making something like that.
Yeah, totally. Do you ever get into the point where you want to copy it, but you know you can't? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I see what you mean. Yes.
You want to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely, there's a line, right? And I think the line is like when you know you're copying it, and you're like, oh fuck, I'm plagiarizing this. And then I think, if you're just getting started, then maybe it's like, well, not enough people are gonna care at the beginning, and like maybe you like rip it off completely, right? And then like maybe somebody's gonna call you out, and then you might have like a different issue where you're like, oh fuck, like why did I copy that in the first place? But you know, maybe at the beginning you can take that idea and kind of massage it into your own take on it.
Okay, give it a little shiatsu.
Yeah, exactly. Give a little bit of a shiatsu massage, kind of. yeah, just kind of work out the kinks and just throw in your own personality.
Like, yeah.
No matter what, it's always going to be slightly different, right? Because you're the one doing it, even if you rip it off. But yeah, I think you know yourself. Like, if you copy something as an artist, as a creative person, you feel like shit. You're like, okay.
But like, it's a very interesting thing, like, especially going back to comedy. Like, you know Robin Williams, of course, right?
Right.
One of the biggest comedians in the world. Did you know, before he got famous, he literally just stole all these jokes from all these other comedians?
Really?
Yeah. And you know Amy Schumer, who's like the biggest female right now?
Yeah.
She's getting called out for all her joke stealing too.
And so did like George, what's his name? The Latino guy?
Minstelia.
Yeah.
That was like the first case, and Joe Rogan pointed him out.
Yeah.
But comics especially the same thing. Like I said, right? So I'm doing a YouTube channel. Thinking of comedy ideas that are original is very difficult.
Oh, it's really,
you're
really
going
hard,
back
right?
Thousands of years.
And then but, especially because there's so many people, and then like,
yeah,
it's
so as comedians tend to not that they purposely want to steal a joke, but they just tend to, I think, doing what you said, doing too, right? Like looking at someone else's work and then how can I say that different? And then they end up just taking it like subconsciously as well as possible. Is that
Carlos? I think so. I think, you know, a couple different things can happen. Like number one, two people talking about a topic that enough people experience on a regular basis, they end up coming up with like a joke about the same topic and just eventually end up expressing it in the same way. Like, you know, like maybe like fart jokes, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's like a billion fart jokes, and then probably several people will come up with like the same fart joke and like maybe the same way of delivering it. So that could happen. And then like another thing that could happen is you see a good joke and then it just sticks in your mind, and then you forget you heard it, and then you end up kind of retelling that joke in like your own way, which might be similar to the original way. I see that happening as well.
Yeah, possibly. But sometimes there's such blatant stealing as
exactly.
Well, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was the third
one
I was going to go
Seinfeld,
to. Yeah.
There's Jerry Seinfeld comedy that is just about life, right? Like, what's the deal with airplane peanuts? But then there's comedy that's like, I don't know, like, who's a good example? I guess Joe Rogan does it sometimes, but where it's like, you know, I have this story about when I was in high school and this is what I did and this is what I did. So it became a personal story, right? So if someone steals that joke, they're like stealing your life, basically.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst. When somebody literally takes that story, which is from your life, and makes that their
like
part, their
like,
bit.
I lived in Goomba and I started drifting in the mountains. I was the only one. It's like, no. That was Albo.
And there are people who are just blatant thefts, like thieves. Like, they just literally steal.
Oh, are you there? Hello? I just heard a blit and you, like, died out.
I got a call.
Okay.
Yep, that's why I disappeared for a sec.
Okay, yeah, you just like bled and died out.
Yep. What was I saying?
I can't remember what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried DMT? No, that's just a Joe Rogan thing. But yeah, so we were talking about copyright and stealing and all that, but let's actually take it off road for a second too. So I've been, have you been watching, listening to the latest Joe Rogan stuff?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
It just came out a while ago that this company, they created AI, which scanned like all of Joe Rogan's like videos or something. And it spoke in Joe Rogan's voice. And it made a dialogue about something like he wanted to start an all monkey, an all chimpanzee hockey league.
Oh yeah, there's. I haven't seen that. I have not seen that, but I know about this concept of like deep fakes.
No, it's not deep fake. It's AI. It's like they created AI and then gave it Joe's voice. So Joe Rogan posted on his Instagram today, and I had to look it up, and it was so creepy.
Let me have a look.
Is it the AI put in coughs and like breathing too to make it sound even more normal?
Oh. That sounds just like Joe Rogan should terrify us all. Here we go, I found it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So pull that up, Jamie. No, I'm joking.
This AI.
Just listen to the first little bit of it. It's creepy.
Okay, here we go.
You can still tell it's not natural, but you can still.
Yeah,
it's like.
Let me have a look. Let me have a listen real quick. Let's see. I'm sure this is going to blow my mind.
Mm-hmm. Just listen to the first 3 minutes, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Where they get the chimp hockey.
Yeah, here we go.
Friends, I've got something new to tell all of you. I've decided to sponsor a hockey team made up entirely of chimps. I'm tired of people telling me that chimps are not capable of kicking human ass in sports. Chimps are just superior athletes. And these chimps have been working out hard. They're throwing kettlebells, battle ropes, everything.
Holy
I've
shit.
I've got them on a strict diet of
broth
and elk meat. These chips will rip your balls off. Goddamn, it's impressive. All I got to say is, see you on the ice, folks.
Wow.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a bunch of clips being taped together, but this is actually an AI talking using Joe Rogan's voice and then analyzing like the way he talks and what things he would say. So Joe Rogan's like, it's so creepy. This is what I would actually talk about.
This is bizarre.
Right?
This is really bizarre.
And then, like you said, there's the deep fakes, which is a big problem too, because people are putting other people's faces on things. Most notably is the actresses on porn actresses, right? We're in a freaky world, dude.
It's hard to imagine the repercussions and the consequences of all these different technologies and like what the future is going to look like. It's going to be completely insane, I think. And you're going to have a lot of, for example, situations where people are put in a situation where it looks like they said something or did something that they never actually did.
Well, here's the thing. What is if they already did?
What do you mean?
Like for example, some bank robber, right? And they're like, oh, we had the security footage of them or the shooters or something at one of those. Well, maybe not the school shooters, but like a shooter at something. And then when you see it all on the news, they used a deepfake.
Yeah, exactly. That's insane. And then the actual checking of what is real and what is not is so like people don't check, right? They just see something.
Oh yeah. It's like gossip, right? On Twitter, people are quick to be like, oh, you fucking loser, but it's like no one looks into it, right?
Yep. People just kind of assume that what they see. And a lot of people will look for things that confirm their own biases or things that they already like want to believe.
Yep, totally.
And then,
I mean, that's religion.
Yeah, right? Like in a nutshell, right? You know, you look for, you confirm your existing beliefs with information that just reinforces those beliefs.
Yep.
Scary, man.
The whole AI thing is scary. And Joe Rogan did a whole talk on that again recently with this. They're called a futurist. Have you ever heard of that?
A futurist? It's a type of, not really occupation, but.
Like someone that, I don't actually know for sure, but it seems like someone that talks about the future or, you know, like they're obsessing about the future.
Right, exactly.
But,
it's somebody who's does a lot of predictions about the future.
Okay, maybe that's it. But they were talking AI and just, it makes no sense, right? Was that your girlfriend?
Oh yeah, she's just in the background. Just
I was like, that was either your girlfriend or a freaking ghost.
That's my dog. My dog is just in the room. So yeah, she came by and it's like, what are you doing here? Like that. It's nice to have a dog, man.
Podcast.
Do I? Do you see like? Do you hear all these random background noises?
Yeah, it's like fucking Willy Wonka factory here. But going back, yeah. So talking about AI and like, what was it? Stephen Hawking's and all the greatest minds are like saying, let's not do it unless you want the fucking Terminator to come to real life.
Yep.
Yet there's people still doing it. Does that just not baffle you? It baffles the hell out of me. It's like, yeah, if you pull the gun's trigger to your head, it's going to blow your brains out and you die.
Mm-hmm.
And there's someone going, huh, let's see.
I don't know. So what were we talking about?
You're having sex during the fucking...
No, I lost. Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
Where were you?
Nothing. Just say again. Like, I... In the middle of your sentence, I kind of lost the train. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
I was saying, if someone had a gun to their head and you're like, don't pull that trigger, I'll blow your brains out. And they're like, let me see. It's just kind of the same thing with AI. AI can take over the world, but yet they're still trying to figure it out. There's no good there's good that can come from it, but there's more bad.
Oh, with AI?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean... it's just the world is gonna be super freaking weird in like 5 years if it takes that long.
I was gonna say, if we create artificial intelligence, which is machine.
No, AI already exists.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if we perfect it, right? Then there's, you know, it thinks like a machine. It can just download all the data in like a blink of an eye, in theory.
I mean, it's going to just keep evolving, and then it's going to evolve to the point where it can like self-learn, right? And then there's always that fear, maybe an inevitable fear that it's going to become self-aware of itself, and it'll be like this, the Terminator situation, and that's going to be really fucked.
Well, and like today I was listening to Joe Rogan again, and he said a good thing. He was like, or someone quoted it, and they were like, the humans are the, what do you say now? I can't remember. It's like the sex organ for the robot. Like, we are the birth for the robots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could not exist without us, but, or yeah, we're like the, God, I can't remember that.
I mean, basically, we're just kind of between different machines interfacing with each other.
Kind of, yeah.
But
more like we're the tool for their life.
So
just as we think they're our tool, right?
I mean, maybe at some point when they're sentient and we're just kind of like, just they have to figure out a way to communicate. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, right. It's a scary concept.
Yeah.
That was the other thing, speaking about test tubes, was they said in like 10 or 20 years, I think, that most births will be done with test tubes.
I listened to that. Yeah, that same podcast. But like, that guy was a little bit annoying to listen to, did you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, beyond that, could you imagine the future when it's like that, where you basically go to the hospital and then you talk to your doctor and you basically decide there what kind of traits you want your kid to have? Like, that's going to be bizarre, number one. And then you get into a situation where you don't even have like sex to make your baby, and then your baby is just developed in like a laboratory. Yeah, it's weird.
Well, but then like the way that they described it made sense too, right? Like, it'd be this fear of all these like abnormalities, right? Like, no one wants a baby to grow up handicapped if they can choose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, do you want your wife to do it, who can also die from childbirth too, right? Do you want your wife to bear the child, or do you want it so safe that you have no worries of Down syndrome or anything, or
That's kind it gets freaky, because then that kind of starts getting into the question of like what it means to be human.
Exactly, right?
It's like
I couldn't do it.
Maybe we will. You know, who knows? Like our generation, we can't even imagine it. But yeah, when things start getting that weird, I'm just like, whew, man. It's like when your parents can't understand people using Snapchat and stuff and like social media. It'll be like 10 times that.
Pretty much. Did you watch that Love, Sex, Robots on Netflix?
No, I haven't actually. It keeps being recommended to me based on my interests. Is it good?
It's really good. Like, did you ever watch the old Heavy Metal movie?
Nope.
No? You got to watch that too. So, do you remember Heavy Metal Magazine?
Looking up right now. Let's see.
Teaching you. Heavy Metal Magazine was like a sci-fi, almost like soft porn erotica magazine back in like, I think they started 70s, 80s. And then
it was really cool. Yeah, I've seen this. I mean, I didn't read it. Well, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, I never got to read a lot of the magazine either. But my sister was into art and she loved that damn magazine. So she sat me down when I was a kid to watch Heavy Metal. And Bruce Willis did the voice of the guy before he was famous.
Oh.
And really good movie. And then they made a part two, which isn't as popular, but I liked it. And I was like, why did they not make another Heavy Metal movie? Like Heavy Metal 2000, I think, was when they did that movie.
Right.
And then I was like, why didn't they make another one? And then I find out that this Sex, Death, Robots was some of the same creators. Oh. And they have an awesome, it's like all different artists. Here's a CGI episode that like looked real to me, like crazy.
So they're all kind of slightly different. It seemed like it was like
don't tie together.
Oh.
It's all like short stories.
Oh, okay. Oh man, okay. I'm quite excited to read it to watch this now.
It's really good.
Look at that. The rating is super high. It's like 8.7.
Yeah, dude, it's amazing.
Wow. Is it similar to like to Black Mirror, and where every episode is different but explores similar themes?
Kind of, yeah. Like, there's one where it kind of shows the future with robots interacting with, or AI with humans, which is kind of cool, like we talked about.
Yep.
And they're just, yeah, I won't spoil it.
I'm totally going to get into this. This looks great. Yeah.
Just watch the Anime Fox one first. It's like a steampunk episode, and I was like, it's so well done. So sad, so well done.
I think I'll just start from the beginning and work my way.
Well, actually, I recommend looking up online. Like, there's some small things connect. So, like, if you look online, there is a viewing order that people recommend.
Yep.
If you watch in the order, like, episode 1, 2, 3, it didn't do much. So.
Oh, okay.
Check it up online. It's kind of tricky.
Okay, there we go.
But, yeah, man. It's pretty cool. I hope they do more of that.
Netflix is experimenting with different episode orders. Oh, wow. Look at that. Interesting.
Yeah. See?
Wow. Everyone's saying it's a must-see. Okay, definitely watching that then.
Man, don't trust me. Just reviews there. Fuck the everyone, man. I just watched Half-Baked, too, before we did this. Have you ever watched that? With Dave Chappelle's movie? Nope.
Let's see. No, I never saw this.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Wait, no,
I
no, haven't no, either. No. Yes, but... I have. Yes, I have. Oh, this is an amazing movie.
It wasn't that bad.
For the time, like maybe if I watch it now, I'll be like, what the hell? But like, this was a great movie back in the day.
Recently, I'm into like the bad habit of checking IMDb trivia after I watch a movie, because I like to hear like what the makers thought and all this stuff that I didn't notice.
What I want to know is if people were actually high during that entire movie.
Nope. He said one guy was high in one scene because Dave Chappelle gave him a bag of weed, and then he did it at the end of the set, and then one of the actors quit, so they wanted to do all their scenes at the end.
Yeah.
So then he came high and did a scene, but one scene only. Wow. But the cool thing was, IMDb said, was the film was shot in like 7 months, which is really quick for like that high of a budget film.
Yeah.
But Dave Chappelle's script, he said, wasn't done the way he wanted it to do.
Yep.
So Dave Chappelle doesn't actually like the movie.
Oh.
Himself, because it wasn't what he wanted to do. Trippier.
Well, I'm just happy he's back even doing content now. Or
I am too, but I'm more happy for Louis C.K. to bounce back.
Really?
Yeah, he got hit bad. And then for someone like if you look at all these famous people suiciding recently, it's, you know, people get their eyes opened, right? Like, you can have everything in the world and still be depressed. But Louis C.K. got fucking chewed out, right? Like, oh my God, what a pervert. And it's like, why? He jerked off after a girl said yes. It's not rape.
Let me.
But it's like, he's creepy. He's creepy. And then it's like, well, yeah, he's not. I mean, like, he's not an angel, but, you know, he's not as bad as, you know. And then my main point is he got shot down.
Right. Okay. Okay. Now I'm looking at Wikipedia to remind myself of exactly what that particular situation was. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. But the fact that he came back, and some people are saying he's stronger than ever, so he's still writing and trying, is like, good, man. Like, look at the Seinfeld guy, Kramer. When he did that, his career went boop,
mm-hmm.
right into the shitter.
Yeah.
And we've never seen him since.
Yep.
So for Louis C.K. to keep fighting, even he probably went through a huge thing of depression. The other thing is, when you point out someone in public, you have to remember they have families too. Like, his poor family, what they probably had to go through. You think his wife wasn't getting like told off at work? You're married to Louis C.K. Oh my God, right? Or his daughter is like being harassed at school.
I mean, that's the way it is.
I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think this is, for me personally, this is these are the kind of topics I don't like going into.
No?
Yeah, no, I don't, because it's too sensitive. Like, I don't want to get into discussions about like rape culture and like this whole thing, you know.
Well, it's not rape, but yeah, okay,
it's,
that's fine.
Yeah, it's too sensitive. Yeah, like, in the world we live in, too many social justice warriors. I'm like, nope, I want to stay away from that. It's not my it's not my thing. So
okay, we'll steer a little around that, but going back to social justice warriors, because that's the problem with comedy nowadays, is just everyone is tiptoeing. Dave Chappelle said it on his, without giving spoilers, on when he came to here in Tokyo, Japan. He was like, what do you say? He made a transsexual joke. And then he's like, if I was in America,
mm-hmm.
you guys wouldn't be clapping right now.
Yeah.
But the crowd in Japan has a weird foreign population. You know what I mean?
In what
you
way?
Know what I mean?
Oh, you mean like the expat population? Yep.
Like, what is it? Like, someone says there's so many things, but like a lot more people that are in Japan or even abroad, Korea, China, Mexico, wherever they are more open-minded, right? For example, my parents never really lived in another country. Most people in Canada have never lived in another country.
Yeah.
So it takes a certain kind of open-mindedness to get out of a country.
All that too, but also you become open-minded when you go live in another country, because you see how life is completely different from where you used to live.
Yes, exactly. But Japan is even more of that, because it's like a global hub for all these different cultures coming into one. It's like one giant hostel for foreigners.
There's definitely a lot of people who gravitate towards this country for, you know, it's such a interesting place, and with people see
world.
sometimes it's really bizarre, huh? It's so different from back home that when you go back home, you're like, wow, this is weird. Once you get used to living here, I found that was the case. Like, when I went back home to Canada, I'm like, oh man, there's a lot of the things, a lot of the ways Japan does things is very, very efficient compared to back home, and it gets kind of frustrating when you're back home.
Yeah, I felt that as well. But there's a lot of also backwards too, right? There's just as many pluses as there is to the minuses.
Oh, you mean like in terms of Japanese culture?
Yeah, I'd say
Yeah.
I guess it'd be culture.
Yeah, definitely. It's not all sunshines and rainbows and butterflies.
And Canada's changed a lot, too. Again, me and the controversy, but someone was telling me the other day they went to Canada and they had a business meeting. And because weed is legal now in Canada, they were smoking weed in the business meeting.
Wow.
How crazy is that? And it's legal, right? So you can. It's no different than a cigarette now in Canada.
Wow. That is interesting.
Yeah, so think of how different business has now changed, right? So there are people that are, they make a proposal at work, right? And they have to really be pushy and make people nervous and blah, 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 or do all these techniques to get a sale.
Yeah.
But if the listeners or the clients are high as fuck, is it going to have a different impact on them? Is it going to, you know, deviate their sales pitch or whatever?
Yeah, it'll definitely... I mean, if that becomes an acceptable social practice, that's going to change the world, man. You're going to have all these decisions made where people are, you know, high. It's hilarious to think about for me.
I know, right? And then think of like social interactions as well. All these people that are like too scared to ask out the girl. Well, if you're high, you're just like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Do you think that's going to create a situation where more people are high or what?
Yes, definitely.
Just like throughout life?
I think probably give it a couple of years, 90% of all Canadians will have done pot.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely, if they haven't already. Because, yeah, it's being used as medicinal. So, you know what I mean? That's what got me. I mean, my dad and my sister and my cousin were all druggies. And then I've had family that died and I had a cousin that did shrooms and picked the wrong one. And he was an Olympic javelin thrower, dude. He was an Olympic javelin thrower. Like, he did a javelin in the Olympics. And then he picked the wrong mushroom and was hospitalized and kind of became retarded.
What?
Yeah. So it's a natural thing. It wasn't the drug. It was picking the wrong one. So that's why they're saying shrooms should be legalized. And they just legalized it in Colorado in America. So now they're saying in Canada, they're going to legalize that next.
Huh.
But it makes sense, right? Like if it doesn't kill you, and now they're saying it also has medicinal purposes. Japan used it up until 2004, I think I heard.
Oh, really? It was legal.
Spice. You didn't know that?
No.
Dude. Oh, let me tell you the story then. So Japan had magic mushrooms in their every superstore, every grocery store you could go to in Japan, they had it. Japanese would put it in their tea.
And it really?
It up. Trust me, dude. I heard this.
Oh, wow. I didn't know this. And I'm just reading this now. It may surprise some people to know that magic mushrooms were legal in Japan until June 6, 2002.
Okay, 2002, yep.
So loophole in the law banned psilocybin in pure form, but not the actual mushrooms themselves.
Yeah, because it's, you know, I don't know why, but anyways, so you could buy them in any superstore or any grocery store in Japan, and Japanese people are buying it and putting in their tea. And then some foreigner was like, hey, dude, that's a magic mushroom. And then all these foreigners were getting high, and someone narked the other foreigner out, and then now they're all banned. You can't buy them anywhere.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy? 2002.
That was, wow, that's recent. That's very recent.
Yeah, right? So they were banned in America and Canada for 40 plus years, right?
Man, I'm reading the most interesting article right now. It's written by a former jet during his, he's like working as a jet in rural Japan. My friend and I knew that a weekend trip to Kobe or Osaka would be necessary to score some mushrooms.
Hmm.
Huh. The shops were not hard to find. There were several under the tracks of Kobe's Sanomiya Station. We bought what they had in stock and proceeded to Osaka to test our newfound purchases at an underground Shinzaibashi club. It was hard to believe that we had legally bought mushrooms and were about to eat them in public, but there they were, legally purchased magic mushrooms, smelling like dirty socks, sitting in our hands.
Crazy,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, when I first heard that too, mind blown. But now that you think of Japan, it's been legal for that long.
Yeah.
Until, you know, they got into their whack, oh, drug is bad kind of thing. Now you can kind of understand why Canada and America has. But one interesting thing that it's my own kind of, conspiracy theory, is I believe that America and Canada didn't want shrooms or weed legalized, even though they knew that they were safe for the 70s and 80s, because they were basically stimulants for the better good, right?
Yeah.
Everyone suffers from anxiety. What do you do with anxiety? You buy pills. Well, if you smoke weed and you loosen your anxiety, you don't need the pills, right? And then if you pick that weed, then no one makes money. Kind of the same thing they say with the common cold, right?
Yeah. We live in a culture where it's you're not treating the actual like root cause, just a symptom with reactive medicine that people have to keep buying instead of like a healing drug, right?
Yeah. So here's another example. Do you buy medicine when the doctor gives it to you in Japan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's two things. One, Japanese doctors only make money by the prescription drugs that they sell you. So the reason why they always give foreigners or Japanese medicine at all is because that's the only way they can make money. They really? Don't actually do it because it helps you. Second, Japanese drugs and stuff, for example, Advil, or in Japan, we have Loxosin,
yep,
are like 5/10 the dose or something crazy like that than the American and Canadian Advil or Tylenol.
Really?
Yet they tell us to take like 2 pills, but basically 10 pills would equal 1 Advil in Canada or America, for example, or Tylenol. So they're also weakened so that you would buy more and stay sick longer, pretty much. And then now, if you have a good doctor like mine, he'll be like, because he doesn't want me to come there anymore. He'll just be like, he's like fucking foreigner. He'll be like,
a good anyways. Doctor.
And I'm like, but doctor, I'm really sick and I need to work. And he'll be like, oh, but it's a cold. You just got to let it run its course. I'm like, what the hell? Like, he's like, I don't need this guy's money. I want him out.
Wow. Why does he not like you?
I don't know. Because I fucking doubt Japanese medical. Like, think of it this way, man. I had problems sleeping. They told me that I had sleep apnea. So the doctor was like, 99% chance it will be fixed if you remove your tonsils. So in Guma, I removed my tonsils and nothing changed. And then creepiest part is I moved to Tokyo. And then 2 years later, I find out that Guma has the most patient deaths in all of Japan because of unsafe practical procedures. And I was like, oh, that's where I took out my tonsils.
Really? Wow.
Creepy, right? And then the other thing was, basically having to pay for the medicine. Because in Canada, at least, we have free healthcare. So a family doctor who is a doctor that, you know, all your family sees or whatever, you would go to see him and he would give you the best advice he can because he makes the money from the government. So Japan, they make the money from selling pills. So they just give you a bunch of useless pills so they can make the money.
Really? I don't think that's the case.
It is, man. It is. Look it up. But yeah, Japanese don't believe me either. But that's basically what I forget who originally told me, but yeah, it's weird. It's same with the film industry in Japan. The film industry in Hollywood or Canada is all paid by the government so that they can make movies. In Japan, the film industry is actually paid from the production side. So that's why they're really cheap and then bite corners a lot.
I mean, there's some... No, that's not true. It's in Canada. It's like, it's not all funded by the government.
But they get money from it.
But I mean, some productions.
Okay.
Some productions get money, and it's the same as like a publicly funded like PBS, right? Like they get money from like the government. And it's like NHK gets money from the government.
Yeah.
Right. It's it's not every single production gets completely funded by government money.
Well, again, I'd have to look into it, but from what I heard, America, Canada, I even believe Thailand has it. Like, there's a money from the government that you can get to make films and stuff. Not the average person, but I think like production companies. Otherwise, yeah, like look at Endgame that costs like $3 billion to make or something crazy. Where really? The fuck did they get that money? Well, maybe not that much, but they earned $3
billion. Let's see. It made $350 million in its opening weekend. Holy.
Oh, well, that's
how much did it cost to make? Let's see.
My numbers are way off.
Yeah, I think you should confirm these numbers before you randomly spit up facts. Say, look it up. Like, okay, I looked it up. Let's see.
What was your production cost? Interesting enough.
So Infinity War has made $2 billion. It's made $2
billion. Oh, see? So they made $2 billion. I was right.
But like not in terms of how much it costs to make. It's quite different.
It's not a billion, yeah. It'd be, but it's still like, I don't know, $20 million or something crazy.
I'm sure it's a lot more than that. An insane amount.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm lowballing myself just trying to go over fucking
so
like Price is Right.
Endgame cost between $350 to $400 million to produce.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Wow. Before that.
So if you think of that, you're like, does Marvel or Disney have, well, Disney maybe, but they obviously get some of that money from somewhere else to make the film, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And here's a weird conspiracy theory I have that I'm curious to what you think. I believe, and this is going way out there, heads up, I believe that the government helps sponsor movies and music and this and this and this as distractions, and weed and all that shit was made illegal because that helps you get undistracted. For example, like a normal person watches a fairly amount a large time on movies and TV. And people talk about that a lot, but I think music is even more. And when you listen to music, you don't really think a lot of the time. Some people do. But if you do that, then you're not as productive as you could be.
So
I think it's a way of controlling.
So wait, so your thesis is that people or movies are made to keep people distracted?
Yes. And even more is to distract from other things. For example, this is another weird one, and I could be totally off the boat or just sound crazy, but like ET. ET means extraterrestrial. That was a technical term to refer to aliens for the longest time. But then Steven Spielberg put out a movie called ET. Then when people researched or searched on the internet for ET, that came up as results. MIB, Men in Black, was another hypothesis. Or proven if you look at the tapes, government agency, blah, 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 blah. But then Will Smith's movie, Men in Black, came out. And then when you search in Men in Black, what comes up, right? So I feel it's a way of burying certain things.
So
and distracting.
To make it, in a way, maybe. So I think there's a couple of schools of thought with this where Hollywood productions are kind of like a soft disclosure to slowly get people used to the idea of like aliens or whatever. And then the other school of thought, I think, is, or maybe somewhere in the middle, where like these like movies are made to basically ridicule the idea.
Yes, that's what I believe too. So like, you know, someone's like, I saw an ET, and they're like, oh, Elliot, and then they feel stupid, so they hide it.
Yeah.
So then they refer to it as aliens, and then there's all these alien movies that come out that are comedy or stupid, and then they refer to that, and then Men in Black, right? Like, oh, I saw Men in Black. Oh, you saw Will Smith? Ha ha ha! Idiot.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit, but now it's, you know, like that was my original theory for like 70s, 80s, and 90s, but now in the 2000s we're again so open, right?
I mean, yeah, maybe in the next few years it's there'll be like a bigger disclosure, because you know the thing that happened like a year, 2 years ago, there was huge
leaks.
Not even a leak. It was
a disclosure. Sorry.
It was national news. It was on the New York Times where they
released the files. Right.
Did you see this? It's like video recordings of the, what's it called? Footage. Oh yeah, the pilots who intercepted this UFO shaped like a Tic Tac.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite stories. Yeah.
Like no one gives a shit. No one really gives a shit.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah, it's like, why? You
put that in the back, people would be like, oh my God, and panicking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no one gives a shit anymore. Because I think they're desensitized by movies.
Like it's
even Christians. Even Christians that were like, oh, aliens are just demons or whatever the hell bullcrap they said. Even Christians or religious people would come up and be like, yeah, I believe aliens are possible. It's possible.
So wait, that makes it less believable? Is that what you're saying? Or it makes it...
I almost think movies and that, again, made it so people could ridicule, blah, 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 make aliens seem far-fetched to the point that we could accept it. And I think we're at the point now that we can accept it so that they don't have to do it, kind of thing. But now that we accept it, they're disclosing, but it has no implication, right? Like, we should be pointing fingers, being like, you're liars, you lied, you covered it up, you hid stuff from the people, but no one cares anymore.
So then when they finally do release it, it's like, oh, people have been, what's the word? They've been conditioned to slowly accept it over many years.
Yeah. And then now these things came out and it was like, why didn't you release it sooner, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no one's like picketing and being like, oh, you know what? let's change the government. They did all this stuff. Again, Joe Rogan talked about the Nazis being shipped to American working for NASA. Mm-hmm. Like the head NASA guy was a Nazi. Like he literally hanged black or he literally hanged Jewish people for doing the wrong thing, they said.
Wait, who did? What?
That's what I was listening to today. Yeah, with Joe Rogan. So he said, I think it was one of the heads of NASA was a former Nazi, and he was hanging Jewish people while working at NASA.
No way. I know that's crazy. I need to listen to that episode then, because I mean, I know about the whole Operation Paperclip thing
if that's true, why aren't people going and picketing NASA, right? So it's like, I think people, they waited until the time where people were like too lazy or too desensitized to actually act up on it. Whereas the 70s, people were smoking weed, and what were they doing? They were hugging the trees so people didn't cut them down, or they were picketing or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot more social change going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. On that note, let's... we
had it in us.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite topics, but I think we should wrap it up. I gotta have dinner, so
okay.
Maybe we could do another one pretty soon.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this is great. We should do more of these. Yeah.
All right, then.
Awesome,
catch
man.
You later.
Thanks.
This has been Albo and JJ talking cray cray.
Cool. We'll catch you guys later. Thanks, guys, for hopping onto this podcast. I have to cut it short. I got to have dinner. My girlfriend's making dinner. And she's like, what are you doing? Come have dinner.
No, I'm joking. Okay.
Cool, thanks, man.
Bro.
Have a good night.
See you soon.
Bye.
Night.